Talk with Maria Bailey. Join Maria as she takes on topics important to you. From the cradle to college, Maria and her expert guests offer information, tips, and tools to make the busy lives of families easier. Now, here's your host, Maria Bailey.
So you probably are rubbing your eyes a little bit if you had to spring your clocks ahead this morning. You got 1 hour less sleep, unless you're in one of those states. And I know that there's like two out there. I think it's Kentucky and Arizona that doesn't participate in daylight savings time. Two strange states. No, actually, we love you states. But the rest of us are a little groggy, and it will seem a little weird when you're cooking dinner this evening. But we've sprung ahead, and that means summer is right around the corner. I saw snow last weekend, and I thought to myself, I hope this is the last time I see snow for the entire year. But you never know. One time I was in New York City on St. Patrick's Day, and we had a blizzard, but hopefully that won't be this St. Patrick's Day. Hopefully you also have gotten your corned beef and you're ready to throw it in a crock pot on, Friday this week. And hopefully you will enjoy a little of the Irish. Everybody's Irish on St. Patrick's Day. Have you ever noticed that? Everybody's wearing their green. And those of us who are really Irish, we're saying, okay, I'm not really sure we're related, but it is St. Patrick's Day, so hopefully get your crock pot out. You can go ahead and put it in there on Wednesday night, and you'll have it by Saturday, and everything will be great. You won't have to worry about dinner. Although, here's the bad thing. It's Lent, so if you're Irish and you're an Irish Catholic, you can't eat the corned beef on Friday night because you can't eat meat, so a little bit of a challenge. I don't think the Catholic Church worked that one out so well. But anyways, if you're not Catholic, you can eat corned beef and cabbage and celebrate like all the Irishmen. I want to welcome you to Mom Talk Radio and let you know that we got a really good show ahead of us today. We have guests who are going to talk about everything from diet to school and education, lots of really great stuff. Remember that you can go to momtalkradio.com to download any of our shows. You can download our app for free off of iTunes and join the millions of moms that have been listening to Mom Talk Radio for over 20 years now. That's a scary thing. I started the show when I was a mere child, and now I am the mother of three college students and a teenager at home that I hope to survive. When we return, we're going to turn the spotlight on a mom, Anastasia Weiss, who is doing some pretty amazing things at teacupsandturkeylegs.com.
Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio.
So we're turning the spotlight on one mom that has done a pretty amazing thing. She's gone from being an international corporate defense attorney to being a stay-at-home mom, which I like to say an in-home mom, because I happen to know this woman, and she is not doing anything in the home. And then she went back to school at 40. Then she started a bakery and a chocolate business, and she's currently in the home as a food-style blogger. And to me, that's taking a lot of risks and doing a lot of amazing things. So I'm excited today to have with me one of my social media friends, Anastasia Weiss. She's the mother of three, and she blogs at teacupsandturkeylegs.com. And I want to welcome her to Mom Talk Radio. So welcome, Anastasia.
Thank you, Maria. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you. So how do you make those transitions? Like, first of all, what made you go back to school at 40?
Well, at the time, I had my two oldest children have severe peanut and tree nut allergies, and I had left law. My husband and I had moved home to Louisville, Kentucky, which is my hometown, and I was a stay-at-home mom for a while, or as you said, an in-home mom, and I think that's a hard transition for some moms to make from going to having a very intense career to then being an in-home mom or stay-at-home mom. So dealing with my children's food allergies and the way the environment at that time with food allergies was difficult for us. Uh-huh. So I was baking all the time, and I came up with the idea that I would open a peanut tree nut free bakery, but I wanted to go to culinary school first so that I knew everything I needed to know before I opened a bakery.
Wow. So do you currently still have the bakery?
I don't. I had it for 2 years, at the time when I opened the bakery, my children were 2, 5, and 7.
Wow.
And for anyone who has owned a food business, it is a 24-hour job, basically. So I did it for 2 years, and I think I loved it, and I think if I had a different situation at the time, but my husband is an in-house attorney at a company here, and then having small children or younger children and that type of, it didn't work for our family. It just didn't work for us. So, but I loved it, and I, you know, one day might go back to it. I transitioned it to an in-home chocolate business for about a year and a half, but then we just came to the decision that for us and where our children were at that time, it was going to be better to put that on hold. So I owned a business for about 4 years.
So now you do a food style blog. So tell us a little bit about that.
I think that was my outlet for me to be able to basically take all the things that I had done in my career previously and give myself an outlet professionally for my love of food and recipes and writing and connecting with people. I mean, as you know, the world of blogging is the biggest, best community there is,
mm-hmm.
and I love to be able to communicate with people, but I'm also a mom. I now have a teen, a tween, and an almost 9-year-old, so I don't have a lot of time, you know, to go see, to do things in person, but I can sit at home and pour my passion for food and recipes and, you know, food allergies and travel and everything into my blog and find that way to express myself while still being a mom, being home with my kids.
And what do you think is the biggest challenge trying to do any kind of business with your kids? Like, how do you find the boundaries that you need to have?
Well, it's taken a long time to figure that out. And I think for any mom it does, because everybody's different and everyone's children are different and your situation is. For us personally, for me personally, my children are involved in a lot of activities, primarily dance for my girls and other sports for my son. And so, you know, being there for them, because to me, I guess once I had children, that was my biggest job then, was to be a mom to my children and make sure that they were getting the things that they needed or getting to do the things they needed or just having me available.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, making sure they get their homework done and get to their activities and have their mom time, but being able to carve out time for yourself, I think, is important, because if you don't do that, I think then you're not even the best mom that you can be. So for us, doing blogging worked out the best for me so that I could do what I wanted to do and still pick them up from school at the end of the day.
So you, speaking of your children, you have been down a long journey with kids with food allergies. If a mom were listening, what have you learned that may make the life easier for another family who suddenly finds themselves with food allergies?
I think the biggest thing is that there is a vast community out there and so much more information now than there was 11 years ago when we started on the journey. 11 years ago, you know, nobody really understood, or there wasn't a lot of understanding or even companies that would help you or provide foods that were peanut, tree nut free, safe, or milk or dairy or egg free. Whereas today, there's so much information, so many communities, so many local communities, so many companies that are willing to help. I mean, you can go online and, you know, Mylan, the manufacturer of EpiPens, has, you know, resources. Or there's so many allergy-free just blogs or websites or anything. It's so much easier to deal with these days. And so many schools incorporate peanut-free or tree-nut-free or, you know, allergy-free, you know, different protocols into how they deal with things, which is the biggest thing, I think, if people with younger children, when you're used to having your children at home, you're in a controlled environment, it's so much easier. You start to send them to school, and that's a totally different situation not to have your child under your control.
Then you get used to it,
and then they become a teen, and then you go through it all over again.
Yeah. So we just have another minute left. Can you tell everyone where they can find your blog and you where they can find you on Twitter?
My blog is teacupsandturkeylegs.com. And on Twitter, I'm teacupturkeyleg. And, you know, you can find me in both of those places with recipes or allergy-friendly recipes and information about food and travel.
And silly me, I always think of Disney when I think of teacups and turkey legs.
Yeah, well, I have to say, a lot of it is based on that. I actually just got back from Walt Disney World Resort yesterday.
For
our family especially, it's one of the best places for a family with food allergies to travel. And a lot of that, when I started my blog a year ago, was based on, you know, that comforting feel you have when you're a family with food allergies. And
right.
So,
well,
yeah.
Thank you so much for your time and sharing some of your day with us. I know you're very, very busy with three kids, and we appreciate it. We've got a link to Anastasia's blog as well, teacupsandturkeylegs.com. Thanks so much for being with us. And when we return, we've got Kathleen Morrissey. She's the author of a new book, Otter Tales. Delighted to have with us today Kathleen Morrissey. She is the author of a new book called Otter Tales and three other children's books. They include Walter and Mike Get Their Own Fun Park Pool, Bunny Foodie Adventures, and The Lonely Noodle. Lots of creativity is coming out of Kathleen. She is a mother who resides outside of Seattle, and today she is with us on Mom Talk Radio. So welcome, Kathleen.
Thank you very much. Hello, everybody.
Great. So where do you get all this creativity? Because those titles are all a mouthful, and your new book is just so cute.
Well, they actually come from actual things that happen in life. I mean, such as Otter Tales. We were sitting in the San Juan Islands on our boat one morning having coffee very early, and these otters kind of started this kind of mischief. They kind of wandered away and scrambled up on the little bay island and scurrying around. We could hear all the noises and the peeping and the squeaking, and it was very quiet because we're just there by ourselves in the morning. And then all of a sudden we hear this screeching and from the other island across the bay, and it was like a mom coming and collecting her kids to get home. They'd gone out of the backyard or something.
That's funny. So your books really are intended to teach children about nature. Why do you think that's so important?
Oh, my gosh. It's so lovely to be around their homes and see how they live if you get that opportunity. And some of us have better opportunities than others to experience that. And then so sharing it with kids and people, I think it's a fun way to experience our nature. Wonderful.
But are there also lessons that you hope that kids will take away from being exposed to nature? Because you're right, so many kids today are like digital avatars is all they interact with.
Right. I know. But we still need to learn some lessons in some fun ways. You know, even animals stray away from home. Maybe mom said to you, don't go out of our sight. And adventures are out there for us all when we get tempted. And so, I think that there's our lessons that are kind of in fun ways and experiencing it through other circumstances is sometimes the best way to learn them.
Tell me about the lonely noodle.
That's about a little noodle that was in floating in a pool all by itself one night. My husband and I are celebrating our anniversary, and we saw this noodle just been left in some towels, maybe left out on some beach chairs at a resort that we were at. And, well, I'll bet that little noodle got left behind and had a fun day with kids playing with it. And that's how this idea of the lonely noodle came about. I said, I think there's a story there.
Where can moms go to find your books and find out more about you?
Well, they can go on Author House, or they can go on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and they're all there, and they're available as a paperback or an ebook.
So many people have a children's book in their head. Where do you start in writing a successful children's book like you have?
For me, I just started writing everything down, writing it out, and then just kind of reformatting. And then I'd have not only friends and family read, but I'd have children read. I oftentimes will run into a child and just ask them, do you like to read? And they'll tell me yes or no. And I'll ask them to give me a review of my book.
Sometimes the best critics are the ones that are below our knees, aren't they?
Yes, for sure.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. And we'll have to have you back, because I have a feeling there's a few more books inside of you. You know, it is springtime, and we've been talking a lot about this for the last couple of months. But it's that time of the year where you need to start thinking about what your kids are going to do in the summer. And, you know, now is a great time not only to book travel and start thinking about that, but also you're getting pretty close to the deadline for summer camp. So I always love to give you the little reminder that look at universities and colleges in your area. They often have college programs that you don't even know about, particularly for that awkward age of 13 through 17 years old, where you want to keep them busy, but they can't get a job. Check out your local colleges and Google pre-college summer programs, and you'll be surprised to find that there's a lot in your community. One of my favorite is Marist up in upstate New York, right outside of New York. And they've got some great programs, economical, and your children get to live in the dorms and figure out what it's like to go to college before it's actually here. So we're going to take a short break, and when we return, we're going to be talking with Natasha Trenev. She is the world-renowned expert in the field of probiotics, and she's the founder of America's Probiotic Industry.
Succeed at the most important career you'll ever have. Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey.
I am delighted to have with us today a name that is synonymous with the probiotic industry, particularly in the United States. She's a world-renowned expert in the field of probiotics, Natasha Trenev. She is has done so much work in this area. She's been studying the health benefits connected to the consumption of beneficial bacteria for over 40 years, and she is joining us today, and we are delighted to have you with us. So welcome, Natasha.
Thank you so much for having me, and I'm always delighted to talk about my life's work, which is the use of probiotics to change your health and revolutionize healthcare in this country.
So a lot of people hear the word probiotic, but they may not know exactly what it means. Can you talk a little bit about and explain what probiotics are and the function in the human body?
Yes. Probiotics literally mean for life, and it's a term I brought to the world to explain the use of beneficial bacteria that will improve you when they're given in sufficient numbers. And the right strain of bacteria will improve your health, which is, you know, directed by the bacteria that is found in your gut. In other words, this gut ecology is what really determines whether you're going to be healthy or not. So the use of this beneficial bacteria is so important for us to understand, much more so than knowing how to operate our iPhone.
And so probiotics can actually, you can give them as young as young children, right?
Okay, well, here's the rub. Since I'm the author of the two probiotic labeling standards, one read into a congressional record, yes, you can give specific bacteria to newborn infants, but there is a specific baby bacteria called Bifidobacteria infantis that, you know, is found in healthy breastfed infants. So you cannot just give probiotic supplements off the shelf with companies who do not understand what particular bacteria is the best suited for infants, young children, adolescents, et cetera.
Okay. And so how do you make the right first, let's back up. How do we know if we have a deficiency in probiotic in our body?
Oh, that's very easy. And let me just give you some statistics why I think that Americans should be listening. So a statistic according to National Digestive Diseases Information Clearinghouse, about 60 to 70 million people are affected by some type of digestive disease. So that's a huge number. And then on top of that, about 51 million Americans make visits to either their physician's office or the hospital emergency room for problems related to digestive health. So I wanted to give you that as a prelude to what I'm saying is for everyone to listen to. And usually we're so ignorant of the importance of the function of our digestive tract that you may, you know, ignore what I'm about to tell you. So hopefully your listeners will not ignore what I'm telling you. So number one, you should be eliminating properly. If you're not eliminating properly, that means you have an upset in your ecosystem. You're probably eating the wrong foods. You're not digesting properly, and you're probably not drinking enough water. So if you're not evacuating or having a bowel movement once a day, you have a problem, definitely. Number two is you feel heavy after meals. Usually people in Northern America, when they feel heavy after meals, they don't understand that there's improper digestion going on, and they'll take some pill to stop the indigestion, not understanding that by doing so, you are not completing your digestion. You're just dumping the problem from your stomach into your small intestine. Well, all this undigested food will be attacked by bacteria that will cause you a host of problems, maybe not today, but sometime in the future. And number three, you're highly susceptible to colds and flus. So, 70 to 80% of your immune cells park alongside the 100 trillion bacteria in your GI tract. And the composition of that bacteria can definitely affect how our immune cells function. So if they're affected adversely and not supported, you're going to be much more susceptible to colds and flus on a yearly basis. Number four, you have poor mental focus. Along with the 70 to 80% of your immune cells that are found in your GI tract and the 100 trillion bacteria, you also have 100 million neurons. And those 100 million neurons are the composition of your second brain. And research has found in the last 5 years that that second brain can affect our mood, our ability to think, much more so than our first brain, because all the nutrients and impulses that are used by our first brain come from the second brain. So definitely what happens in your gut will affect your mood and whether you feel anxious and depressed or whether you're functioning properly.
So how do we, I want to make sure that I get some like tactical stuff into the interview before we have to leave. How do we find the right probiotic? Because we have just 2 minutes and I want to make sure that we know how to find the right probiotic.
I encourage your listeners to call 800-536-4833. Once again, 800-536-4833, or go to trynatren.com, which is TRYNATREN.com, And if for those of you who don't wish to call, as I said, this is probably the most important thing that you can learn about. And unfortunately for all of us, there's so much misinformation because virtually 99% of the companies selling probiotics do not make the probiotics themselves.
Right.
Somebody else makes it for them. And it's too important of a topic to be just relegated.
It's very important. So we're going to have a link to your website on Mom Talk Radio. And I want to thank you so much for talking about this important topic with us today, Natasha. We appreciate and that you've given us some of your time. And when we return, we're going to turn our attention to tooth decay, one last health issue to get you through the week.
The number one podcast for busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
I am delighted to turn our attention today to the world of dentistry as it has to do with our children. We're joined by Dr. Barry Bartusiak. He is a fellow at the Academy of General Dentistry and a five-time president of his local dental society. He has been the dentist to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So we're excited to have him with us today and want to welcome him to Mom Talk Radio. So welcome, Dr. Barry.
My pleasure, Maria. Thank you. And thank you for that great introduction.
So let's talk about our children's teeth. Sometimes moms get busy. They're thinking about, okay, I've got to make sure my child eats right. I got to make sure that they're learning the right things. And, you know, I've got to go to the pediatrician and I've got to go to the eye doctor. And we might often, because we don't like to go, forget about the dentist. So why is it so important for us to remember to put that on our list?
The mouth is the window to the body. And, you know, we have to make sure that we set the stage for not only good brushing habits when they're young and taking care of the baby teeth, but that also sets the stage for the adult teeth and adult dentition and a healthy lifetime smile.
Where do we begin? Like, what's the first step that we need to do?
Couple of things. Number one, when we're at home with the little ones, when they're 1 or 2 years old, and I have four kids, so I'm walking the walk and talking the talk, and that's to use a little washcloth, even when they're very young, to make sure that we're getting in the mouth and just making sure that they're used to something. You could use a washcloth or even a toothbrush, and just so they're playing around with it and they're kind of used to that. And then that gets them started. The second thing is, around age 2, 2.5, take them to your dentist and hygienist, and whatever gets done, gets done. So we kind of let the child be the guide. So mm-hmm. if it's just riding up and down in the chair and, you know, having a little fun and singing a song maybe, then that's what we accomplished. If it's doing everything from getting your teeth cleaned to getting some fluoride placed, then the child allows us to do that. But it's providing a nice, fun environment for that child to come in and have a good experience that's really setting the stage for a good lifetime of happy dentition.
A lot of moms, I hear this on the playground.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it doesn't matter if I go because they're going to lose those teeth anyways. And once they get the permanent ones in, I'll worry about it. So what do you have to say to that?
Well, if you want your child to be in pain and have abscesses, then that's certainly the route to go to. And if you want to have a nice emergency room visit, there you go. That would be absolutely and totally false and wrong, and any dentist on the planet would tell you that. So, number one, in addition to getting good habits in place, and we know, 21 days to a good habit, and that certainly can take place in that time. The second thing being, we don't need an emergency room visit for our child, and we always want the best for our children. So that would be very, 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 very wrong.
Okay, so there's a lot of misconceptions out there and misperceptions about
yes.
our teeth. What are the ones around brushing?
Well, the first thing is we need to think about what we want to accomplish. And what we are trying to do is remove the soft layer of plaque, which is bacteria accumulation, and get that out of there. So what we want to use, we don't need something hard. We don't have to brush hard to do that. So what we want is a soft toothbrush. And one of the softest toothbrushes I've ever seen in my life, my kids use it, is what's called a 4260, and it comes from a company called Curaprox out of Switzerland. And the reason it's called a 4260, Maria, it's 4,260 bristles.
Wow.
And it's super soft. The average American toothbrush has 1,100, so it's four times as many bristles, and it's so soft. I just had a staff member tell me right now, She said, you know what, I can't believe, I forgot how soft this was. She goes, I use one of these crappy American toothbrushes, and I can't believe it. And she just threw the American toothbrush away, and she said, why did I even have that in my locker? I'm like, I don't know. So it does make a huge difference, and once you try one, you'll be hooked.
And where do you get them? Is it something you buy online?
Yeah, CureProx is a website, CureProx.com, CureProx.com, and it is just a great website full of great things. Talking about getting good habits, sometimes we have to pass the coolness factor, right? And one of the cool things is they have this black is white toothpaste. And Maria, it's black toothpaste. And you want to see your kids get just absolutely wild about toothpaste. They will take pictures of that. They will take selfies until the cows come home. They will post it on social media. I mean, if I can get my two teenage daughters excited about brushing their teeth, and it just created a social media buzz because they've just taken so many pictures, and, you know, their friends email me and say, oh, Dr. Berry, can you bring home another toothpaste, the black is white, so that I can have it? I'm like, sure. So, again, it's the coolness factor. You know, we have to
make it
cool.
What does it taste like?
It's mint. It just has mint. It's all natural. Who woke up in America and said today, hey, I want more preservatives in my life? So it's right. All natural, no bleach, no abrasives, Maria, and that's kind of key. So if you're using that with that nice soft toothbrush and you get that in there, we're getting the job accomplished, it passes the coolness factor, and it's fun.
Other than black toothpaste, is there anything else that we just have a minute left? What's the one thing that we could improve on today with our children?
Make it fun. Make it something that they want to do and not that they're kind of needing to do. So whether it's using a Superman toothbrush or any folk hero, so to speak, whether it's that or whether it's playing music. So most songs maybe last like a minute and a half, 2 minutes at the tops. Play that and say, okay, we're going to brush until we're done, until the music's done. And Then give them a treat, whether it's a sticker or a coloring sheet. And if we do that over the course of about a three-week period, again, 21 days, then it becomes a habit, and then they like to do it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And it's worth, you guys, it's worth going to the website just to see black toothpaste. It's CureProx.com, CureProx.com. And we have a link to it on Mom Talk Radio. Thank you, Dr. Berry, so much for joining us today and sharing a little of your insight into health, having a healthy mouth and healthy teeth. So check it out. I'm going to order one of those soft brushes. I just want to feel the difference. So when we return, we're going to go into the archives of Mom Talk Radio. We got something special we're going to share with you today. It's not about broccoli. That's the title of the book that our next guest penned. In fact, she's going to share with you three habits to teach your kids for a lifetime of healthy eating. And she is Dr. Dina Rose. She comes to us having appeared on a whole bunch of media outlets, and we're delighted that Mom Talk Radio will be added to her list. So welcome, Dina, to Mom Talk.
Thanks for having me on.
So tell us why knowing about nutrition isn't enough to change a child's eating habits, because sometimes we all feel like we're the experts on how to eat right.
Absolutely. But the thing about nutrition is it really just tells you about the food. It doesn't really tell you how to get your kids to eat that food. And I speak to parents all the time, and I have literally never met anyone who doesn't know what their kids ought to eat. Where they struggle is getting their kids to eat the food that they serve. So we have to start thinking about how to shape behavior and stop thinking so much about the food.
So if we think about behavior, I think that when it comes to broccoli, since it's in the title of your book, I've tried to, create a behavior in my kids to eat broccoli. I was so happy when one of them actually came home from college recently and said, I love broccoli. I'm like, great. I tried to cut it up really small, hide it in your spaghetti. You know, how do you change those behaviors?
Well, there are a couple of things that we have to do. One is we definitely have to stop talking about eating food that is healthy because it's healthy, because that inadvertently sends the message to our kids that this is the necessary sort of evil food, and you have to eat it, but you don't really want to eat it. That's one thing that we have to do. We have to start teaching them that the three habits. So the first one is proportion, which is eating foods in relation to their healthy benefits. And what that really means is eating the really healthy foods more often than everything else. And parents really struggle with that, mostly because they're using foods that are sort of from the middle of the pack, like the chicken nuggets. But it's the second habit, which is variety, which really can help parents get to proportion. So the second habit, which is variety, is eating different foods from day to day. And a lot of parents get hung up on that because they think, well, my child won't eat anything new, so how can I give them something different? And actually, variety is just difference. And so if you make a deliberate effort to vary what your kids eat from day to day and from meal to meal, instead of getting stuck in the rut where we give the same two or three foods for breakfast every day and the same two or three foods for lunch every day, then that will start giving a frame of mind for the child to start looking for new foods. And we can start modifying the variety. I call that the rotation rule, to start thinking about taste and texture. A lot of times when we get in that food rut, what we're doing is feeding our kids the same kinds of foods all day long, even if it's not the exact same food. So, for instance, a grilled cheese sandwich and mac and cheese are essentially the same food. So we have to start mixing up the tastes and textures that children get exposed to so that they start getting more accepting of the fruits and vegetables that we want them to eat, because they can eat those foods. It's just easier for them to eat the other kinds of stuff. And
right.
The third habit, of course, is moderation, which is just making sure that we teach our kids to eat the right amount of foods, that we're not teaching them to overeat, which is one of the unintentional habits we teach our kids when we tell them they have to eat two more bites, or they have to eat two more bites if they want to have dessert. And we also have to not teach them to eat for emotional reasons, because they're bored, they're sad, or lonely. So those are the three habits, and if we think about them as the behaviors we explicitly want to teach, then our kids will start to practice those behaviors rather than just put the food on the table and hope that they figure out how to get them into their diet in the right way.
So we only have a minute left, but can you change the eating habits of, let's say, a 10, 13, or 14-year-old?
You absolutely can. They just have to be more on board than the younger kids. And the key is to talk to all kids, regardless of their age, about what the behaviors are that translate nutrition into behavior, right? We need to actually say what the three habits are. And then when it comes to new foods, it doesn't really matter the age. We have to start exposing kids to new foods in terms of all of their senses and getting information about those foods, teeny tiny tastes. It's sort of like a science experiment, so that they get more comfortable predicting what something new will taste like, and they get more courageous about trying them.
Well, thank you so much for sharing some of your knowledge with us today. I want everybody to go to your website, though. It's notaboutnutrition.com is the website. We have a link to it on Mom Talk Radio, because food is such an important part of life, and creating those good habits from a young age is so important. Even if you don't have those habits yourself, you can break the cycle. Thank you so much, Dr. Rose, for being with us. And I want to thank you for being with us today on Mom Talk Radio. Been another fun day for me. I hope it's been fun for you as well. And we'll see you next week right here on Mom Talk Radio.